A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 161. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Star Maidens. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Star Maidens was a 1976 ITV series about a culture clash with an alien race that is dominated by women. It ran for 13 episodes, one series, 25-minute episodes.
And it was a co-production with German television, which explains some of the casting and certainly would explain some of the accents that you may have to struggle with slightly as you go through this show.
Yes, they have quite a variety of English and German actors in this, and the odd French actor as well.
So we're getting back to the story. In our last episode, we discussed how these two male domestics from the planet Medusa have escaped to Earth and are on the run, and they're being followed by two female pursuers from the female-dominated society on Medusa, who not only arrive on Earth but then take two hostages, two of the science team on Earth who'd been investigating with their radio telescope the arrival of the planet Medusa in Earth's solar system. And these two human hostages are then taken back to the planet Medusa.
Yes, these are Rudy and Liz, two of the scientists from Earth, and they try to raise a male rebellion on Medusa and ultimately to escape back to Earth. Meanwhile, of course, Grand Counselor Fulvia becomes the target of kidnappers. She's still on Earth, and the target of political activists and all sorts of things there.
Okay, so there's these sort of ongoing stories either on Medusa or back on Earth with this, this clash of cultures. And we should mention that the Medusans are technologically far in advance of Earth technology, so much so that they have spaceships which are quoted as approaching half light speed. Again, possibly not quite realizing just how fast that was for 1970s television.
Yes, and they had these very sophisticated computers as well. They had inertia guns and brainwashing devices, all sorts of advanced things.
Yes, it wouldn't be a 1960s or 70s show if it didn't have some form of brainwashing or mind control, I think, Brian.
Well, yes, that's right.
And as we've said, this was a co-production, which explains some of the sort of oddities that are going on in this show. And interestingly, it may have led to a sort of dilemma as to what sort of show they were after. Apparently, there was a difference in opinion between the German production company and the English production company. The Germans thought they were making a light-hearted sex comedy, while the Brits wanted a more serious science fiction program which would be suitable for family viewing. And it may be this clash of ideas which gave us the rather odd program we're discussing, Brian.
Yes, if you look at the episodes, it makes a lot of sense that there were these different conflicting ideas about what the show was going to be. And of course, they were playing into the feminist political developments of the time, what was known as women's lib, women's liberation at the time was a big part of what they were looking at. And, you know, we wondered, were they trying to say something serious and have, you know, a message about society and how they looked at things and do some interesting things with role reversal? Or was it just sort of a cheesy, fun kind of romp?
And as we've said, we've got this slight confusion in the stories, possibly because these two sort of diverging approaches that the production companies were after. So sometimes the storytelling does seem to be a bit strange and confused. And then, as you said, we've got the costumes. This was right in the middle of the 70s. They were perhaps responding to the success of glam rock or of other sort of glossy, highly costumed science fiction film and television. So we have the Medusan costumes with robes and the glitter makeup and sequins and those ridiculous platform boots. All of which, of course, does look rather strange now, Brian.
Yes, very much so.
And it can make parts of it rather amusing, unintentionally so. But there you go. Those are the costumes that they were going for.
They are rather bizarre.
Yes, let's settle on that. It's bizarre, some of the costuming, particularly, as we've said, for the Medusan security guards who are supposed to be able to run and chase, but actually just seem to be a string of very attractive young women wearing very little and tottering around on platform boots.
That was sort of what they went for, yeah.
And, of course, we've got this this idea of whether they're trying to say something serious about gender politics, but in doing so, they just seem to go back possibly to a very 70s idea that it's a battle of the sexes and that the outcome will either be one sex on top, you know, in the positions of power, or the other. So Earth is depicted as being entirely male-dominated, and Medusa is entirely female-dominated. And the battle seems to be to attempt to reverse those positions. And there's no attempt really at what we would now call or refer to as equality. We don't seem to get that at all, Brian, although possibly they start to make some hints right towards the end of the series.
That's right. It was definitely that sort of battle of the sexes idea, which had been done better in other 1970s or early 80s science fiction as well. But that was the sort of idea, and it was a pretty simplistic take on it as well.
Yes, unfortunately, that's what we're left with. I think it does come down to a slightly simplistic approach.
So we should talk about some spin-offs of this. Alistair McGowan's fan site. Yes, there are fans and fan sites for this. Is quite extensive, and he lists some various spin-off things, mostly in print, including the novelization by Ian Evans from 1977. Apparently that was more adult than the show was and has more sex in it, which I'm told is available fairly cheaply on secondhand sites.
And of course, for any 1970s show, we have a children's annual, very popular here in the UK, coming out towards Christmas, so they'd be intended as stocking fillers, usually filled with stories, pictures from the show, quizzes and puzzles and so on. And there was indeed a Star Maidens 1977 Christmas annual, which must have come out, I think, after the show had stopped airing on its first run, at least. But there you go. That's out there somewhere. And as well, we are told that there were also jigsaws and even dolls of the various Medusan characters in their robes and platform boots. So yes, an attempt at some merchandising from this show.
Yes, so it shows that they really were, in part, aiming this at children in the 1970s, which is sort of interesting that that's what they were doing with this show. Also, Friedel Berlip's soundtrack was released on a German CD in 1999 to tie in with the German VHS releases. And that's still actually available as an Amazon MP3 download, depending on what region you're in.
And as ever, we'd love you to get in touch with us about the music and the soundtrack if you know anything more about Friedel Berlip, and indeed any more about the rumour that Barry Gray may have been involved somewhere along the line.
Yes, indeed.
What a dreadful planet this is for guidance equipment. So much interference.
Madam, this is the Minister for Internal Security. Minister, Octavia.
Delighted to meet you. May I say this is a unique moment for us? The first time in the history of our planet that contact has been made with alien beings.
I doubt if they'd cross the river. Medusan males hate water.
To find that you resemble us so closely.
Well, you don't resemble me at all. foolish man.
So that should bring us to some of our own thoughts about Star Maidens and a bit of the good and the bad. So, Eamon, what did you like about Star Maidens?
Well, it's a tricky one, as I'm sure our listeners will have got the impression as we've gone along. We have to say that Gareth Thomas is always watchable. His hair looks a bit daft with this blonde badger streak running through it. And I wondered actually whether they'd use the blonde streak because the two European male leads, Pierre Bryce and Christian Quadfleague, I wondered whether they thought they looked too similar and they had similar hairstyles. And so the Medusan men were given that blonde streak. But anyway, Gareth Thomas is good. I enjoyed him. And I'm sure you did as well, Brian.
Yes, Gareth Thomas was very good. He's always very watchable. And a few of the other actors were good as well. Judy Geeson, in parts of it, was very good. Later in it, they sort of weakened her character, and that was less interesting. But in the parts of it where she was still playing the stronger character, she was quite good as well. And some of the guest actors in there were reasonably good. So when they were focusing on those characters with the better actors and the actors who had English as a first language, and they had some of the more serious plot lines that were in there some of the time, it was sometimes okay. You know, there was some not bad stuff in there.
It has moments, and of course, as we said in our last episode, some of the writers, you know, we mentioned Eric Pace, we mentioned John Lucarotti, we mentioned Ian Stuart Black, so, you know, some good people involved, and some of the episodes are not too bad, and then in other episodes it becomes very strange and confused.
Yes, unfortunately it does come off as a bit of an odd mix. For a good chunk of the series, they were alternating episodes between episodes set on Earth and episodes set on Medusa. And the episodes set on Earth had some of the characters. Fulvia, Judy Geeson's character, was on Earth along with Adam and Shem. So you had Gareth Thomas, his character on Earth. And those episodes tended to be, some of the time, a little bit better. And the other ones in the sequence of the alternation were on Medusa, where you had the two characters from Earth, Rudy and Liz, who had gone off to Medusa, along with some of the other characters there, and quite a few of the German actors were there, and the German actors, unfortunately, were not very good at acting in English. And some of those Medusa episodes were a little difficult to watch.
Yes, let's be charitable and say that. And of course, we have to, as you say, note that they were not they were acting in English, which was not their first language. They were big stars in their own countries, and here they were being asked to film at the Hammer Studios and do their lines in English. So possibly a little challenging for them. We did mention the sets as we went along, and we have to say that some of the sets on Medusa look fantastic, possibly because they had borrowed Keith Wilson, the set designer from Space 1999. And in particular, there's a large central hall on Medusa, which various people are seen sort of walking through and milling about in. And that looks really rather good for the 70s, I think, Brian.
Yes, they clearly had some budget to put into some of the set work and things like that.
So that's interesting. The model work we thought was less good and is noticeably, I think, poorer quality when we compare it with the Gerry Anderson shows we've watched in the past.
Yeah, unfortunately, because this has a feel of the Gerry Anderson style model work, and you know, some of the look with some of the same people involved sort of looks like Space 1999 and shows like that. Unfortunately, it sets us up to compare it to that, and the model work is really not at that level.
Yes, and it does suffer by comparison, which is, you know, perhaps a little bit unfair on our behalf, but there you go. It is a, you know, an obvious comparison, particularly when there were people involved in both productions.
Yes. I do have to say that their take on a female-dominated society is a very simplistic one. And yes, there are different ways you could go with that, and I'm not going to get into issues of how it should be done or anything like that, but they were very simplistic ideas of every position of power being held by a woman, and all of the men were sort of subjugated, and the women were constantly talking about how the men couldn't be in charge of anything because they were too violent, and yet the women were being very violent themselves. It was a very sort of odd and not very well thought out way of doing things.
Okay, I mean, let's be kind and say perhaps they were hoping to illustrate the problems with human society in the 70s by holding up this mirror. But unfortunately, it's done rather poorly, and it doesn't really work. It all comes across as terribly simplistic. And as we've said, as we've gone along, this idea that the Battle of the Sexes was just that, a battle with a, you know, one gender coming out on top rather than any attempt at equality along the way.
Yes, I think the way they did the costuming, for sure, weakens any idea of holding up a mirror to society. It just sort of made it a little bit absurd, and that was too bad.
And we have to say that the costuming is a bit strange, particularly, of course, looking back on it from this distance. The 70s, when it went really 70s and glam rock, was quite strange in terms of costuming. And I know I keep mentioning them, but these poor women, these poor young actresses who were playing the security guards on Medusa, as you say, Brian, it doesn't really work as a mirror when, in fact, they've been asked to totter around wearing almost nothing for a family show. It's a bit strange, really.
Yes, one thing that it did remind me of was the film Barbarella, which of course was earlier, but this had a bit of that vibe in a 1970s context and trying to do, you know, in a more sort of European feel to it. But it did have some of that feel to it, unfortunately without the acting to back it up.
That's right. Yes, it, as you say, it's an interesting comparison that you brought up. I do like that comparison, but as you say, it's not backed up by the same level of quality, really, is it? Nor does it seem to be taking itself, you know, with sort of tongue-in-cheek, as Barbarella certainly had that feel. You do get the feeling that everybody apart from Judy Geeson and possibly Gareth Thomas seems to be taking it all terribly seriously.
Yes, that's right. And Gareth Thomas, you know, he takes the role and runs with it, and, you know, that was great. But yeah, so many of the actors were just doing something odd with it, and it didn't work out very well.
Yes, we did like the one episode where Gareth Thomas formed a sort of relationship with an Earth woman, and that episode started to have some interesting stuff in it, but that was never really developed elsewhere, because, as we've said, these episodes are standalone and they don't really build to anything.
Yeah, they sort of have a serial format in that it continues from one to another some of the time and sort of has a resolution to it at the end, or comes to a bit of a conclusion. That one episode featuring Shem and a woman on Earth was definitely more interesting because they had Gareth Thomas carrying the episode. And it was reasonably well written, and the guest actress who was highlighted in it was okay. So that was definitely at a stronger level of TV, but it still could only go so far. It was just the one episode. So, unfortunately, yeah, we really weren't able to go in that direction that might have been a little bit more interesting.
Okay. Another problem I had with it was the vocal track. We know, as we've already said, that the German and French actors would then redub their own lines for the German and French broadcasts, and presumably other actors were brought in to do Gareth Thomas's parts and so on. But somehow the sound quality on the episodes we've been watching on the DVD, it almost seems as if the whole thing was dubbed, or that we're listening to some post ADR track of it all, because although it's quite clearly Gareth Thomas's voice, it just seems, I don't know, perhaps there's a slight syncing problem, or maybe it's just seeing these German and French actors struggling with the English lines.
Well, it may be that there was some ADR, some additional dialogue recording that was done at the time. It's also possible that the DVD mastering, if it wasn't done quite as well as it should have been, that it exacerbated any problems with syncing that were already there in the archival copies.
Okay, that may explain it. It does seem slightly odd to me, but there you go. So, anything else do we want to say in the positive or negative columns for this show, Brian?
I think we've covered it fairly thoroughly now.
Okay. We've been trying to do this thing where we talk about, if you like this show, what else you should go and watch. So I suppose our immediate recommendations would be, if you did like Star Maidens or you wanted to see something of a similar ilk but perhaps better done, we would go for...
maybe Space 1999?
I think that would be the one, wouldn't it? Go and watch Space 1999.
At least if you like bits of the look, then there's something there. If you enjoy Gareth Thomas and his performance, then check out Children of the Stones and Blake 7.
Yes, where he's doing much more serious work in much better shows.
Absolutely. If you enjoy the other rather bizarre aspects, then I don't know, maybe look at Barbara or some other 60s or 70s sex comedies. I don't know.
Okay.
So now we get to our recommendations. Eamon, what would you like to recommend?
Our listeners know where we're going with this one, Brian. I know it was actually recommended to us by some of our listeners, and I do apologize. I have to say I really, really struggled with Star Maidens. I even tried to see it as sort of for its comedic value, but I couldn't even get that from it. If you haven't seen any of it at all, and if it's still available on YouTube, by all means go and have a look at it on YouTube, where it's free. I certainly wouldn't pay any more than that for it, Brian.
Okay, fair enough. I will say, look at a clip or two on YouTube to see what maybe some of the model work looks like, and look at the odd photo or video clip to see what some of these bizarre costumes and things looked like. But beyond that, I think I would leave it there for this one.
Okay.
I can't in all good conscience recommend watching this series.
No, our recommendation is clearly go and watch Space 1999 instead. But we will put a link up to Alistair McGowan's fan site where you can find out much more about the show. As you say, Brian, if you've not seen any of it at all, do at least go and have a look at the opening credits on YouTube and look at the model work and listen to the music and tell us what you think. Is that Barry Gray? Is there any element of that, or are they just trying for a Barry Gray feel?
And some of these costumes and makeup and so on, they have to be seen to be believed.
Yes, do have a look. And as ever, if you disagree, if we've got it wrong on Star Maidens, if we've missed the point, then please, please get in touch with us and let us know.
Absolutely. I would love to have that discussion on the Facebook group. So, in summary, Star Maidens told the story of the planet Medusa with its female-dominated society, and the planet had been struck by the near approach of a comet and slowly moved out of its own solar system and is now coming through our solar system. So we get the clash of cultures between a futuristic, technologically advanced, female-dominated society and European and British 1970s society. And all sorts of interactions result. We have men from Medusa fleeing to Earth and trying to make their escape, and a man and a woman from Earth being essentially kidnapped and held hostage and being taken to Medusa. We have all sorts of conflict in both places, and lots of bizarre things with a strangely interpreted female-dominated society, and lots of bizarre storylines, and strange costuming, and the like.
Okay, well summed up, Brian. And do please drop by the Facebook group and let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
And, of course, please come back and join us next time when we may be on safer ground, because we're looking at Dirk Gently and the BBC Four adaptation, loosely based on Douglas Adams' novels, broadcast from 2010 to 2012. That's what we're going to be talking about next time. More fun.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us at thegeekculturenetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so you can find that if you search for British Invaders on Facebook.
You can also find us on vognetwork.com, the Voice of Geeks live streaming radio. We go out on Mondays and Tuesday nights. And once again, as always, welcome to our Vogue Network people.
Absolutely. Great to have some of you here. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, I fell in love with a Starship Trooper.